When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Let's go!
What's up, Jeffs? Welcome back to Binchtown TV and our actually first ever coverage of The Bear. We were big fans of season one. We didn't really get to do it on the podcast, though. I'm not sure if it ever came up in any of like the standalone bracket shows that we've done or like best of 2022 stuff that Luke, Kathleen, Jimmy, and Binchtown, friend of the pod, OG Tyler did. Either way, it's nice to finally get to talk about The Bear. Obviously, the show came out, what, June 22nd? This is July 3rd as we record it, so it's been out for a couple weeks. I, Kyle, watched it like 2 days after it came out in full entirety and have been chomping at the bit to finally be able to discuss it. We've been trying to wrangle ourselves in before we hit record so we don't talk out all the points you want to talk about. So I'm talking a lot right now. I will pass it to whoever wants it. I guess just we'll do maybe just like general thoughts of the season and then we'll break down. We'll just do character by character. We don't really need to get into like every single plot point and everything like that. We'll just do fairly high level. What we liked, what we didn't like, maybe some character rankings, episode rankings, so on and so forth.
All right, so jumping in here. Did you mention the three of us that were on here?
I did not, no.
Okay, well, so we got Kyle, our host right there, Luke, and then friend of the pod, Alki. You may recognize him from any of our anime coverage or Alice in Borderland. Always down for TV. He's one of the best bingers we know, so this was perfect. Yeah, this...
All-star.
All-star, absolutely. So this show, yeah, it came out of nowhere last year. I'm pretty sure we all kind of collectively were finding it around the same time. Mm-hmm. Tyler did preach it for the season one of, like, best things he saw that year.
Yeah, okay.
And then he assigned it to Jimmy to watch, which he never did.
Yeah.
Lame.
We picked up the slack.
I have so many thoughts about this. I won't get too into it right now, but this was amazing for me. Like, I will... damn near say 10 out of 10. I fucking love this show. It's and I'm someone that is such a sucker for my own favorite types of genres, and this is just transcends genres. Like, I think anybody can sit down and watch this and enjoy it. It's just so made with care, and you can tell, and like the passion from every single one of these actors is amazing. I'll leave it at that for now, but we're gonna deep dive a little bit later. I'll pass it over to Alki though for initial thoughts.
What's up, everybody? Yeah, like Luke said, this is even outside of my comfort zone in terms of genres. I'm not really big into dramedies, but this is awesome. Like Luke said, it's very deep. It has awesome character development. It's so funny. It's serious. It's emotional. I mean, it has everything you want and more, and it keeps adding to that. It grew so much from the first season, and I'm pretty sure they didn't even know if they were going to have a second season, right?
That I don't know the answer to, but
I remember reading whatever. Either way, they hit it out of the park with the second season, and I can't wait for third season already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I obviously love season one, but season two, I watched it afterwards, and I had to just go on the internet because I was like, is everyone else loving this as much as I did? I didn't know if I was like in the minority of thinking it was like literally amazing. So like Alki said, what a step up, I thought, from season one. Season one was good, but this, I thought season two was so much better. Personally, just like you said, the character development and the changes that we see and everything, we get a lot more of like individual characters focuses. I loved like the kind of character focused episodes that we got of like the different parts of the crew. I thought that was a great move. And it really helped build throughout the season into what was another fantastic finale. Fantastic in the sense that it was good television. Maybe not exactly what I wanted to happen or necessarily fun to watch at certain points. But
doesn't make it bad, though.
Yeah, it's still good television.
So, I don't want to sound hyperbolic about it, but pound for pound, because a lot of these episodes are only like 30 minutes, mm-hmm. like pound for pound through two seasons, this might be a top three show of all time in terms of character work.
Yeah.
Pound for pound. So keep that in mind. That's important because yeah. Like, I'm not going to say it's better than Game of Thrones character work, but you know, we'll see when we get there. All I'm saying is they do so much with every second on the TV. I feel like this season is going to look better even in hindsight, because one thing I was like thinking about as we're watching this is once episode 6 hits, which is the flashback episode, we get the backstory of most of these characters' relationships. That was so needed. And it's crazy to think that we didn't have it up until this point.
Yeah.
It's going to make watching season 1 so much better, because even like the Mikey stuff, we really didn't have any idea what kind of guy he was until this season. And now looking back on even those little scenes he has in season 1, all of it's going to be so much better. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I do like the different highlighting of all the different characters. It honestly didn't even feel like that much of a Carmi season besides all the Claire stuff, it's a lot to talk about just in itself, but he's the main character. So I didn't expect that. But I think in season 3, I think it's going to be a huge rebound season for Carmi. And it's going to, because like this one ended a little bit bittersweet for him specifically. So I think season 3 is going to be the bounce back. But this was like such a good, like, give you all the background you need, build the character relationship, build up all of our main characters besides like one or two. And we'll talk about that too. But overall, like this season was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Episode 6 was a testament to how good season 1 was, because it developed so much that they laid so much groundwork in season 1 and it all came to fruition in episode 6. Sometimes you watch a show and you're like, where did all this come from? But I didn't feel that way at all. It connected the dots. You know what I mean? It brought things home. And like Mikey's so tragic. The mom is so tragic. I was so emotional. It's like they were my family.
Yeah.
You know, it was insane.
And you were in the shits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had to literally pause sometimes during episode 6 because it was so like, it gave me so much anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, it was like I had to actually take a step back and like look at my phone for a second. It was crazy.
And that's what Kathleen was saying. She's like, this show makes me freak out.
That's literally, if you go on like IMDb and look at all of the actual written reviews, it's pretty much either like 8 to 10 is everyone's like, oh my God, this show's great. And everyone that's not liking the show is always like, it's way too depressing and like anxiety. Like, it's just too much. I literally can't handle it. And then they don't watch it because of that. So if you can get past that, you can stick around for it. Oh my God. Yeah.
And also from our roots, we're Shameless boys. I don't know about Kyle as much, but Barry Allen.
Jeremy.
Damn it.
Barry Allen is the Flash. Yeah.
But even back in his Shameless days, like he was by far my favorite character.
Yeah.
I thought just the way he acts just makes you feel things. And he brings this is somehow a better character than Lip, in my opinion. And I never thought that was going to be possible going into this show because I haven't seen him in anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But he's my guy for life.
That's what drew me to the show. I mean, it's in Chicago, like Shameless. My family and I love Chicago, love Shameless. We watched season 1 together in one night. And Lip was obviously the best character. He was a genius in Shameless and he was tragic in Shameless.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a genius in this show and he plays it so well.
Yeah.
And even though they're obviously similar characters, they're both totally different people with totally different tendencies and character traits. And it's so interesting.
Last little, I guess, high level point I'll make is that I love this show so much because I am like addicted to food YouTube. Any YouTube videos where it's like, here's the behind the scenes of this 3-star Michelin restaurant or just like, here's 3 a.m. in Hong Kong and this is what we eat on the street, just any type of things like that. And I just love how like some of these episodes just feel like YouTube videos that I've watched before, but it's like just such high level TV at the same time. It's just so enjoyable. It's like right up my alley. Like I eat, like I'll make a dinner and then I'm like, yeah, I'll watch The Bear. Because like I'm watching people cook and I'm eating and it's just like a little feel good thing for me. So,
and it's anything you hear about the behind the scenes, like Lip, I'm gonna call him Lip. No, Jeremy Allen White. He's like says all these things like he did all the training in like legit restaurants.
That's cool as fuck.
He says he like takes pride in the fact that he is essentially the face of this industry to most people who have no exposure outside this show. And like the way he talks about it is just. Everything's amazing. Like this is everything you want to hear about a new upcoming show. They're getting it. And then add on top of that, like season 1 to season 2, there was an all-star supporting cast this season of just new random side characters.
Insane.
I will gush over 90% of them.
Yeah.
Not Jamie Lee Curtis. Sorry. Love her, but nope. And all I'm saying is like, I think that's says a lot about what A-list actors think about the show.
Yeah.
Like, they're
great
willing
point.
To jump on this 30-minute random Hulu show that I'm sure like my parents have never even heard of. That speaks a lot to it. And I'm thinking even season 3, we're going to probably have another bunch of stud actors just coming in here because now this is going to win awards. So now they're all going to be like, yo, fuck yeah, let me get on that show. Like that's how I think it went, because I feel like Jamie Lee Curtis is one of those actors that truly like respects art, like Everything Everywhere All
She's a fangirl.
Exactly.
Yeah. So she's a One Piece fan.
She's a One Piece fan. Yeah.
Poulter, I'm sure, was like, hell yes, yeah, sign me up. Mm-hmm. Like he's one of the guys that I loved seeing in this show too. It's just
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob, oh my god, yeah. right off the bat.
I just finished Better Call Saul.
And then I love my boy, geez, why can't I remember his name?
John Mulaney.
And the chick from, we're naming them all now, but the chick from American Horror Story.
Yeah. Sarah Paulson.
She was awesome.
Richie's ex-wife is Community.
I didn't recognize her.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, he was in season one, but John Bernthal actually like having like a full episode of acting was so nice, because he's a great actor.
He kills it, dude.
Yeah, he's so good.
He steals the scene, man.
Yeah, he's so good.
I really thought there was a chance he wasn't going to come back this season, because I didn't think they were going to go this route of showing us the actually scenes of the backstory. I thought it was just going to be like, okay, the Legend of Mikey, we kind of have enough pieces, suicide, like all that. I thought that was going to be it. I was pleasantly surprised that he was down to come back, but he's also one of the coolest people off the screen, like behind the scenes. So
I don't know.
Flinch pussy.
And when they were talking about Claire, oh, it was so funny.
Okay.
I don't know if Richie's actually from Chicago, but him and John Bernthal, like they nailed the accent down. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate that stuff, you know, because it makes it feel natural.
Richie's actor I read a quote like recently. I know me and Alki have like very similar Twitter feeds, so you might have seen it too. But just him talking about, like, as soon as I read the pilot about Richie, I basically had a whole full formed character in my mind of like who this guy was going to be. And the fact that he knew that off of the rip, like you could tell. And Richie, I have so many things I want to talk about, but we're probably not ready to get into the character specifically, right?
That's kind of what I was going to, the next question I was going to ask. One thing I will say though about Richie, I'm pretty sure that he like moved to Chicago before they started filming, and he lives there when they film. So he's like, when I'm there, like I'm Richie. Mm-hmm. And then when he moves back home, he's like himself. And like, he like moves to Chicago and then like kind of immersed himself in the city to like get ready for it as well.
Method acting.
Yeah. I thought that was just a fun little backdrop.
Jeremy Strong.
But honestly, I mean, I don't see why.
Did you know? You saw that? Jeremy Strong is going to be in season 3
of this?
Yes.
Oh my God. Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Check me on the doors, but you saw that, right?
The number one boy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I hope he's a chef. I really hope. No, he's going to be like a food reviewer. He's going
to
be a critic.
But that's what I mean. Like, the show is literally starting to gain, like, him coming off of Succession ending, one of the biggest shows.
He's one of the hottest actors in the world right now.
Exactly. Like, that's just, to me, makes me smile, because that's the kind of attention and free marketing that this season 3 will get after everybody already loves this season. If you look on IMDb, everything's above like 9 basically for the season, especially the family episode. And then, Kyle, I think you said the back 3 or 2 of the last 4 are like really high on IMDb.
Right at this moment, there was 10 episodes, and if there's 5 of them were 9.0 and above. So I think the season average was 8.9, which is high as fuck. I feel like I can't think of another show, Succession.
For FX, I was going to say, FX proves that you don't have to be HBO or Netflix to make top tier television. I mean, I think that the 30-minute episodes are great. I think it's perfect length, especially with all the chaos that happens. Mm-hmm. From the first minute to the last.
It's crazy. And then like the next episode happens and then you kind of reset and then it gets crazy. Yeah. And they did a great job with episode 6, was way longer. Episode 6, I think, was like an hour.
An hour long. And then
into episode 7, which was Forks, which is a Richie episode, which is a really good kind of structure for them to have, because that was a great little like actual hopeful episode, which I think they knew we desperately needed at that point.
We needed to pick me up.
Yeah.
The names of the episodes were all great. Like, they were all very fitting. They were so subtle, but they hit the nail on the head in terms of the meaning of what each episode was trying to convey.
Yeah. I'm surprised they went with the bear for the end of this season. I thought they were going to save that one for like the finale, but it worked.
I'm kind of upset that we didn't actually see the real grand opening. It was just friends and family.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, we're going to get there.
Yeah, because Jeremy Strong will be there.
I want him to be the cook that's going to replace this crackhead.
Oh, that would be hilarious. Dude, if he's just there in the kitchen.
Crack is wild.
That's what I said.
I think we got to fire you.
Let me check. Yeah, let me go check. You're being really fucking weird right now. Okay, so are we ready now, I think, to get into... We'll just take people character by character. I feel like that's the best way. Episode by episode's tough.
Talk itself out.
Yeah. Do we want to start heavy or do we want to start light? Because heavy is, we just started talking about Carmy.
Let's do Carmy.
Carmy.
Because I feel like, okay, and just to put this out there for anybody listening, we have held off on talking about any specific opinions for characters. So this is all going to be fresh. We haven't bounced ideas off each other.
No.
I'm pretty nervous about some of our things that we're about to say, because I'm sure we're going to be fighting over.
I kept trying to talk and they kept shutting me up.
Good.
Well, you're like, you want to compare lists of favorite characters? I was like, that's a major part of what we want to do on the episode. Like, why would we do this without the mics?
He needs our validation.
Yeah, it's no.
True. It's okay. I need yours too, so it's okay.
All right, let's hit it.
All right, rip it.
Carmy. Okay. Well, season one left off, and you know, it was all Carmy. I really expected to go into season two on that note, continuing with Carmy and continuing with his journey with the bear and reopening the restaurant, unraveling his trauma with his brother, the whole therapy sessions. We got one scene of that.
Yeah.
But it took a turn. You know, we started diving into his relationships. And, you know, in a way you could argue that builds his character up so much more, as you know, in its own right. But you really got to see how damaged he really is, you know, from his relationships with his friends, his family, just his attitude towards cooking and his career. He kept toiling with, am I having fun? Like, they kept asking, do you love this, right? And he's like, I love it. But it, even saying he loves being a chef, it is so difficult for him to admit that. It's like he doesn't even believe what he's saying.
Yeah, it's difficult for him to use that word in any context. They literally in episode six have to pull it out of him to say that he loves his family.
And they were like, oh
yeah, exactly. And then even Melissa, who's played by Sarah Paulson, like, she says, they have a conversation and she says, I love you, and he just says, yeah, you too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't even say the word to her.
Yeah.
So he's just like, it feels like, for me, it's interesting because it feels like he just wants to distract himself constantly with everything that's not considering himself, you know, like with the restaurant, and then gets into Claire, and he says it at the end, but though, because he's like, I need to be locked in. So I'm just kind of curious of like that difference, because we never really saw him in the kitchen so much in a different kitchen. We get the one flashback of Joel. Not Joel Klatt. That's an NCAA football guy. Who is from Community? The guy from Community who plays the chef. That's like his like arch nemesis.
Did they recast?
No, he was in it. That was part of the thing. He was in it, but he thought it was him.
Right.
But it wasn't actually.
It triggered him.
Yeah, yeah. Either way though, but like, I don't know. It's just kind of like, I would like to see him more in those therapy sessions, like you said, because that was, I think, my favorite scene from season one.
Yeah, so raw.
Is the finale. I really rewatched that scene before I started season two. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, like Luke said as well, that season three gets us more into like a full Carmy train, because I love all the other characters, but obviously you kind of come for Carmy.
And they did all of the buildup of the other characters to clear the path for it to being a Carmy season, especially how this ended. So a couple things I'll just say about him off the top of my head. Just know this. He is the only character that I am so biased on that I'm just admitting it right now. Like, I love everything he does. I don't care.
Me too.
Is probably what's going to result in this difference of opinion here, because I didn't know. We talked about this right before we started recording, but Kyle was saying that the general consensus is people just hate the characters of Claire, Donna, and
Sydney.
Yeah. Which, fair, but like, what I want to say is that I am so team Claire and Carmy that I don't give a shit.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Like, I, and it seemed like you are completely the opposite, and we could talk about it, but basically my entire opinion got summed up in the last 10 minutes by Richie.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you got to let yourself enjoy this, or else what is anything worth anything? If you're not like, so that's basically how I feel about it. So I am going to be defending Claire. I guess I'll be the minority. I don't know how you feel
about it. No, I'm so team Claire. I was aghast when I was online and people were like, oh, Claire sucks. Like, she's like,
cool. I like
the best
her
girl next door archetypes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, she is so goddamn good. That,
and she's a genius in her own right and her field. Like, she's on Carmy's level, just, you know, as a doctor. And, and she has a chaotic life too. I mean, I forget what discipline she is, but
she's like an ER tech or something like that, like a doctor in the ER.
And she's obviously able to balance her at home life with her work life. She's able to separate it. She's able to have relationships. Carmy has no idea how to do that.
I'm begging them to bring her back. Like, I hope it doesn't just end like that.
It can't.
I really hope so.
I refuse to let that happen.
They wrote it where literally she could be out because of how he reacted at the end there, and Carmy can move on. I don't know.
Sets up for Sid and Carmy?
No. People like that, though.
People have been saying.
Yeah. I'm anti that.
He came out and said, like, their platonic relationship is, like, one of the best things he likes about
them. Yeah, I would be upset if they did that. It just, it gets it necessary so much. It's nice, honestly, that they can just be friends and business partners and like, you know, and bounce back and forth off of each other without like a level of romance involved.
I want to say about Claire, I'm not anti-Claire. I'm just so pro-Carmy that it was clearly distracting him.
Yeah.
And it made me upset to see his focus get shifted.
Yeah. It just sucks because that's just like how it has to be for him now, where he's at in his journey. But he'll get to a point, hopefully.
He'll get the balance down.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't know. There's some level, like people love shows that are like super realistic sometimes, where it's like it's not all, you know, sunshine and roses. There can be a balance. And I would be upset, honestly, if this story just is about how the fact that he can never change, like he's so fucked up by his mom and his family that like he can't let himself up good things. I would be pissed.
It's not going to be satisfying for him to say, you're right, like I need to just be focused on this, and then he succeeds at that. That's not gonna be satisfying at all.
No.
So I hope we don't go that route.
He just, Carmy's so good at his craft, and I really loved to see him trust his peers, how he gave Tina his knife.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed he was just letting her borrow it. And then when she was like, well, I haven't given it back to you, chef, I apologize. And he's like, I never asked for it.
Yeah, I was really excited.
That was baller. Like, I actually like fist pumped a little bit. Because Tina's sweet. And in the beginning, in season one, she was just so difficult.
Yeah.
But she hurt. Moving on to Tina officially?
No, no. I just wanted to say, like, you have your question to ask. I don't want you to ask.
No, I have it, but I'm going to save it for the Claire
second. It's one of the reasons why I love Carmy. Like, he shows signs of being able to trust others, build relationships, and be like a good friend and mentor, but he sabotages himself.
Yeah, it's all in his head. Yeah. Literally, in that conversation at the end, he has it with multiple people through the door of the walk-in, but Tina says to him, like, that's like so silly that you would think that. Like, he's so hard on himself. He literally thinks it can only be that black and white one way, where like he has to, every waking moment has to focus on the restaurant, or he's gonna, you know, it's gonna slip through his fingers or whatever it may be. But I liked, too, that there was a lot of maybe not so subtle growth, but even like the, and we talked about it, Alki, before we started recording, with like the hand gesture with Sid, or like they kind of like do like rubbing the heart. I think it's sign language is something he explains.
What it's
sign
for sorry, right?
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's like pause.
So like even that, like he even says to Sid, I think it's in episode maybe 7 or 8, they're talking about the menu and they're changing things or whatever. When he whips out the drawings, he tells her, like, just let me know when I'm fucking shit up. Like, I don't want to fix shit up. You just let me know. And like, I'll try to fix things. I'll try not to be, you know, as bad and things like that. So like, he's clearly mindful of the fact that he might be making mistakes.
That scene was awesome, by the way.
Yeah. It's just, he's too hard on himself.
He
at
is
times.
So like, self-aware that it's just like, it's refreshing. You don't see that often, of people like literally acknowledging, let me know.
Yeah. In the moment, in real time. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also overly self-aware because he blames himself for every single thing.
Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. He deserves some level of blame of things.
Sure. Like it's not going to call the goddamn fridge guy.
Yeah. And like the thing with, it's tough because like in the kitchen, it's so high stress. But like the fact that the pans were on the left-handed thing, like in the moment, if he just had just noticed that before service, it wouldn't have been like, why the fuck are the pans on the left side? But the fact that they're making food and it's like he's freaking out and screaming. You know what I mean? So he obviously dropped the ball on like a fair amount of things. He's just way too hard on himself for what the actual consequences of it are.
And let me just say, why you just brought that up, I love when they freak out in the kitchen and everybody just kind of gets it. Like, you can just feel it. This happens. People freak out.
Yeah.
And you just have to kind of move on, especially the head chef. Like, if you go to Richie's episode when he's going to the other, and you even see that chef freaking out in the other restaurant, you know, the dweeb, whatever. I don't know that guy.
Fuck you, Jeffrey.
Yeah. It's just like,
he's like, yes, chef. Fuck me, Garrett.
It's part of the culture, like where the head chef has to like kind of like exert all that stress out. They're up at 5 a.m. Every single day.
It's actually
like,
fucked up, but
it is fucked up, but it's also really cool to see because I have no insight to the food industry.
Yep.
Like seeing those kind of things, it's like that kind of makes sense. Like Gordon Ramsay got a point, you know?
Yeah. I love me some Gordon Ramsay. Yeah.
I also like a little thread, I guess, somewhat similar. Like they keep passing around the Pepto-Bismol.
They're all just super anxious
and all the time. Like it's so stressful that like their stomachs are all fucked up. Yeah. So like they all just like sip on Pepto-Bismol, which is fucked up. Don't get me wrong. It's just a fun detail.
I think we're still on Carmy. Party when he went with Claire, she gave him a Coke. He didn't have any beer or anything, at least not that I noticed. Is he sober Is he recovering? Like, what do you guys think about that?
I didn't notice that he didn't have alcohol.
Do you think maybe he's just...
Did you notice
I think possibly he's just not drinking because his brother was obviously...
And his mom.
His brother and mother have demons that they battle with. And
that's the way I interpreted it. I don't think he has a problem because he goes to the Al Anonymous meetings as like a family member of someone who was an addict.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't introduce himself as someone who is an addict.
I thought it was like somebody who a loved one committed suicide meeting.
I thought they were going Alcoholic Anonymous, but I could be wrong.
I don't remember. I thought it was that too. Off the top of my head, I thought
like
it was
what I said, what Alki said.
That's a suicide thing.
Name drop himself. Heard.
Last thing I'll say on Carmi is, like, obviously he makes the show go round.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be all roses from here. Like, this season was pretty much really looking up once they started passing the tests and stuff, and they were going to open up. Like, something needed to happen.
Yeah.
This is just the natural progression of a show that could go 4 seasons, 5 seasons. So, like, this
great build up season.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved it. So that's it, man. Carmi's the freaking homie.
Yeah.
He's no longer Lip in my mind. He's Carmi.
Yeah.
Carmi. Yeah, that's a good point.
This defines him.
Yeah,
for sure.
So.
Do we want to slide to Claire because it's easy?
Yeah, let's just do that because we kind of been talking about
it. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
And here was the question that I kind of forgot earlier. What specifically did Claire do wrong?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, because you're the one that's going to be on the opposite side of this.
It's like, it's not that I think she did anything wrong. I think it's just right person, wrong time for Carmi. And while we just got done talking about how he needs to learn how to balance relationships and all that, like, he also has to deliver this because there's so much at stake. So many people's livelihoods are at the balance. He owes Uncle Jimmy all this freaking money. Like, he doesn't need this. And I think Uncle Jimmy defined it perfectly. He's like, first of all, this is like the greatest thing I've ever heard. And he's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I was so mad at him that he did that.
It's
just
true.
Because
it's what I was thinking the whole time. And that's what made me so upset about the relationship, is because it could foil everything. It could fool everything because they showed how Sid was clearly unhappy with the situation. They showed Carmi dicking over, just calling the simple fridge guy like 3 different times because of Claire. You know, he had to go run an errand and he had her do it with him, which is, you know, nice and sweet. And we got a good couple scenes out of it, but it diverted his focus. And I'm rooting for him and the bear. And I want the legacy of Mike to live on and like all that. And Carmi right now, his whole family, his family's legacy is resting on his shoulders, and I just don't want it to get fucked up.
No, that's all valid reasons. I just weigh the happiness and like what I'm projecting onto Carmi higher than that, but I totally agree with everything you just said. I will say that the overreaction of the changing of the menu was the one I think wasn't like a big deal. That shouldn't have been taken as big of a deal by Sydney.
Yeah, Sid was like getting jealous, and she even said it. She's like, I
apologize.
She apologized. Yeah, exactly.
The fridge thing for sure. The ditching out to go to the party, like with Claire, all that valid. I was just thinking out loud, like, what is weighing heavy on your mind about her? And, you know, valid.
I just
still love her.
I'm just scared of the impending doom.
I think we hit it.
But I think we hit it, which actually is kind of nice.
Yeah, because now it can, it's either going to go up or she's going to be off the show.
I mean, I'm fully Team Claire.
Yeah.
Whatever they were trying to sell me, I fucking bought it hook, line, and sinker. I was really into it. I loved the fact that it was nice to see Carmi in that type of relationship, have those kinds of scenes, because he's not really, really warm so much with a lot of other people. It's more of like he does nice gestures for people at times, but like actually interacting with someone on that level, like romantically, I think was nice to see, because obviously we didn't get that in season 1. People's issue, from what I can tell on the internet, with Claire is that I don't know if you guys are familiar with the manic pixie dream girl trope.
What?
I had to look this up because I wasn't sure what it was. Basically, it's like she's like too perfect. Mm-hmm. And she says all of the right things. Like, she's so perfectly quirky and like everything's
like next door. It's like the same idea.
Yeah. Everything's like perfectly flirtatious. Like, she just gets the right amount of jokes, but like she's serious and she's smart and like she's good at her job and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's like, what, I don't really care so much, but that's what people's main complaint was.
The only counter to that is the fact that there is built in history.
Yes.
If she just popped out of nowhere and then he like fell in love at the store first sight. Totally in, but there is built in history, and you even see in episode 6, like he's been into her for 10 years. Like, they grew up together. That's the reason I don't buy that.
Yeah. So much so that everybody that he knows knew how much he cared about Claire.
And she goes on to say she felt the same way the whole time, which is just like,
Yeah, exactly. And they talk about, yeah, how Carmi's always been really shy and like was never going to say anything to her. She says that to him.
Yep.
They all of his like people and friends know Claire. Like they're all like she. Yeah. Like you said, she grew up literally down the street from him. Like, mm-hmm. So for me, all the dots connected perfectly. I was super into it. I was legitimately devastated when she's on the other side of the walk-in door and she hears all of it. And I was like, fuck, I was so upset.
I knew it was coming, dude. She was like, what the fuck? Let's get in there.
And like Luke had said a little bit ago, like Richie was kind of the audience, like our stand-in of like, what the fuck, man? Yep. Like you couldn't just.
I will say my critique of Claire, which came in the last 15 minutes, is weak to say I love you on the phone for the first time.
Yes, a little weak. Thank you. Fair. Especially on a voicemail.
That's what I'm saying. And like,
you couldn't keep that in your freaking pants?
When he missed the call and I saw the voicemail, I was like, ah,
yeah.
Not good. Not good.
Just wait, how do you not say that in person?
If you know Carmi as long as you've known him, I feel like you got to know that that's not going to... She could have done better. She could have found a way to resonate with him a little better.
My like irrational hope is that the first thing she heard was when he was like really self-deprecating and he's like I'm a fucking psycho, and then he says all that stuff. So it wasn't so much like he was against her, he was against himself with her type of deal. And that's like my irrational like holding on hope to like season three, like it'll be okay because of that.
At that point, he can talk himself out of it.
Yeah, as messed up as that might be, but
I don't think he's capable of. He's got no riz like that.
Yeah, not right now. But I think he means too much to her. I think for her to kind of let that one, like obviously it's horrible and it's like so devastating for her in the moment. And I obviously, yeah, like she cried and she walked away and she deserved to walk away and. He doesn't really deserve like an immediate next chance, but I think that they have way too much history for her to just like give up on him. I feel like she sees the potential in him of what he can be, and he doesn't obviously see it himself, and they'll get there.
Sure.
She says, I'm really sorry to hear that, Carmen.
Yeah.
She said his full name. That could be interpreted as F you, or also that she feels bad he feels that way. Mm-hmm. But she also can't stick around.
Yeah, they're totally
in game.
They're coming back. She's coming back.
And Claire, dude, I fucking love that name.
Back set it up. He said it. He's like, I did that.
Yeah. He's so great.
Okay, so we could probably put a pin in Claire too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to just fact why you said his name?
Yeah, sure. Fuck yeah.
And add another brother to any conversation.
Yeah, at this point, there's really no rhyme or reason. Right? Yeah.
I love
Theodore and Neil.
10 Theodores in my family.
Okay, great. I like Matty Matheson a lot. I was so pleasantly surprised by how much more he was in this season.
Me too.
Like it made sense because like they're redoing everything and they're, you know, is it a gut versus a whatever the fuck the other thing was? I forget. A facelift versus a gut. But it just, he's a great character. He's so funny. He had such a nice level of levity, I guess. And he was fucking, him and his brother were great in the Christmas episode.
Dude, when John Mulaney says, I look forward to this every year. I love seeing you guys. You always deliver. Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to give you $500 just so, but you have to call me.
Yeah.
Every week and let me know how it's going. I don't even care what happens to that $500.
That dude, the delivery, I'm just bawling about John Mulaney right now.
Yeah,
he was a 10 out of 10. But when he goes, do I have access to $500? I absolutely do.
He's like, I'm 42.
I'm a 43-year-old man.
I love when he's just like, can I take those one at a time? He was so
every line delivery by John Mulaney was fucking amazing.
I was so sad when, I mean, it makes sense because like they probably didn't want to get them for all of the potential scenes. Like they just wanted them for episode six. But when Suge says like in the finale, like, oh, like, you know, Steven and Michelle can't come. I was like,
all right, we'll get right back to them. But
yeah, fact.
No, I agree with what you said. I did not have any expectations that we were going to see him as much as we did.
Yeah.
And the thing that surprised me the most was that quick little conversation about, I think it was Carmi and Claire about fact, like hooking him up with the right phone number, and then she goes, he says she's your best friend.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I didn't pick up on that from season one that they are literally like, that's like his best friend.
Well, I think I interpreted it as fact says everybody's his best friend.
I don't know. I mean, he's at the dinner.
It's a little of that and a little of that. Carmi doesn't really have any.
Yeah, he doesn't have any friends.
Like he's the closest thing he has to a friend.
Right. I was just surprised at how close fact is to the family, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Carmen saying like, he is my best friend. Yeah. I think that was one of the most honest statements that he actually believed in.
Well, it felt
the
like
whole season.
Great. Like I had said earlier where he's like so chaotic that like that felt where like he actually took a moment to like ponder his connection to like another person and was like, oh, wow. Yeah, we actually are best friends. You know what I mean? That kind of deal.
So Fak, his actor, say his name again, Kyle.
Matty Matheson.
What is he, a comedian slash chef?
Like, he's definitely a chef. He owns, I think, one or more restaurants in Canada, so, in Toronto. He also owns like a clothing brand. He's on YouTube. Yeah, yeah. So
he like, I see his videos all the time and he's so funny and he's a good cook.
Yeah.
And it's, he fits the show so well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved his transition from the maintenance guy, Jan, whatever, to like front of the house in the suit with the little rat tail. Like, he was so funny. And like, him and Richie together are great.
Yeah.
He's like, we're in alliance. Like, he's like, no alliance, no alliance. They're like, he's like, mom, nah. It's so funny.
He, yeah, like, don't call mom. Don't call mom. Don't call mom.
He starts whispering it and then he starts to get louder. Yeah.
Also, I appreciated how much he knew about general upkeep of like a
he's the
building.
Guy. He's the guy.
You need a screwdriver? My boy's always.
He's like, do I look like I got a screwdriver?
Call me disrespect.
He's cool. He's funny.
Yeah.
He was definitely good. One of my favorite side characters. And he adds a smile to my face in any scene he's in.
He just means well. He's just like a nice, sweet guy, which I guess for some people, like, they do bad things in the show and they're kind of bad people at times. I feel like he's just like always, you can count on him to just be like a good guy, like
he's
a solid
genuine
guy.
He's genuine,
very genuine.
And Sugar always calls him my love or honey or something like that. I think that's funny.
You know, he loves it.
Yeah, he probably had a crush on her from a kid or something. Yeah,
you know, he loves it.
And was it the brother that Richie wouldn't let in the front door?
Yes. Yeah, Theodore.
Back, what's up?
Yeah, he's like, parm for carm.
Fucking come back here again. That's like, I told you not to come back.
When he lights the fucking candle at Christmas and he just goes, we lit.
Yeah.
This Christmas is lit.
Who is it that they're dancing for? Is it Richie? And he's like, he's like, dance together. All right, now in sync. Now separate. And they're both just like,
they're just great.
Dude. I don't know why, but I felt like I could know those guys.
Yeah,
it was just so funny.
It was also funny that they've dropped so many times that there's so many facts, but we've only met two so far. And obviously Francine, their sister, has some level of involvement with the people because Sugar hates her.
Right?
Sugar hates her.
That's totally.
Even let her come to Francine's family.
That's coming.
That has. They've talked about it way too much for us not to get that.
Lee, that dynamic is coming in the future next season. And, you know, on a side note, probably this Francine shit.
Yeah,
too.
We'll see. But no, I love the facts. They're great.
So let's do this because we go with Fak and the brother.
I think so,
Let's just keep going in a circle nominating people. So like, because we can just treat it like that. So we don't have to keep asking who's next. So I'll go next.
Okay. That works for me.
I want to take us to another main side character who I fell in love with this season. I don't remember how I really felt after season one. But dude, Uncle Jay,
yes,
the absolute man. Like, he could have been in Succession straight up, like his archetype. And everything he says is just so wise. And he
keeps it real.
He keeps it real. And he's still like not afraid to like, like you're saying, like he will say whatever the truth is. But at the same time, he loves them so much. Just how he treats Richie in the flashback episode, like. He knows he was about to mess with the relationship and just gives him the job. Like, he is to his heart.
He's a good guy.
He's on the squad.
Like, you see it too. So it's season one, too.
Yeah.
That, like, he has, like, that underlaying. Like, he just loves them. But no, but if you're him, like, he obviously is rich, has a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they're all at some level, like, kind of degenerates. And it's like, he has to stay on his toes around all of them.
Wait a second. In the first season, I thought it was implied that Uncle Jimmy is, like, crooked.
It could be. They also, I mean, they definitely look at him as, like, a fixer.
Yeah, so
for
I
sure.
thought he was like crooked. I thought that was hinted at in like early season one.
Yeah.
And
he's got money.
He has legitimate businesses. And yeah, it's a testament to him and how much he loves the family, like you said, Luke, because despite the fact that Mikey has had so many failed business ventures, he's wasted so much money. He had a problem with drugs and alcohol. Like, he still gave him money. And then after his departure from this earth, he also helped Carmi and Sugar, and he believed in them.
Mm-hmm.
He instilled a lot of great advice to them. He became their partner. He helped get the ball rolling when they needed it.
Yeah.
And he was crucial. I mean, he's also like a true silent partner.
Yeah. He's also not like a complete, I'm not sure to like, he's not soft in the sense, like, he tells them like 18 months. These are clearly the terms. I'm not afraid to fucking sell this building out from underneath you guys. Like, you either do it or you don't.
It's like, I want this to succeed, but yeah. I'll obviously take this lot. Like, yeah. I want this lot.
And they needed that. I think they really need someone.
Yeah, he doesn't beat around the bush.
Yeah, that's going to give him that.
Business conversation they have in the car where, like, we only have this amount of time mm-hmm. before we're in the red. Like, that was great. Everything he does when he gets real is just, it's compelling. I definitely love him. What, I'm just completely forgetting, what is his actual relationship to them?
I think he's one of those just non-biological uncles.
But there has to be something that they hinted at why he's around. Like, was he...
I think it's been hinted at that him and their father and this guy Lee were, like, close. Because the whole KBL thing...
Okay, actually, that makes sense because he flirts with the mom, so he's definitely not related to the mom.
Yeah, he, like, kissed her.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's like, oh, you're so hot when you're mad.
I mean, it just kind of says that he's related to them, but not, like... It makes it seem... Because they all call him uncle. Because Richie's not, like, related to them.
Richie,
but
I can't wait to dive into settle down.
But he calls him uncle too. So I don't know. It's kind of hard. They all each call each other cousins.
Like, could it be the dad's brother? Are we ruling that out?
No. But he doesn't have the Brizada last name.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. So I don't know. I thought I missed that and it was obvious, but I guess not. He's just one of the fam.
And it's kind of tough too because they call him Cicero. But then in the scene in the finale when they give him the banana, they call him like Mr. Polanowski.
Yeah. I don't know.
Or something like that? Because Lee is also Polish. Polanowski sounds Polish to me. Maybe. So,
I think even Richie's Polish.
Yeah, I can get down with that too. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
Well, I mean, again, I think that'll be something that probably gets explored even more, hopefully.
I'm good with Uncle Jim.
I theorize that him, Lee, and the father ran together just like Mikey and Richie ran together.
They talk about it a little bit too of like the initial shit, right?
The KBL.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was... K, I think, is
their dad.
Jimmy, or no, K is Jimmy, B is Berzato, which is Mikey slash their father, true. And L, I believe, is Lee. I might have mixed up K and L, but it was those three, and that's what he had engraved in all the cans mm-hmm. that he hid all the money
yeah.
in. So I think Lee might be involved with that $300,000 that he hid in the tomato sauce, whatever. But yeah, I like Uncle Jimmy. He brings you back to earth. You know, mm-hmm. he's
great presence.
He has a great presence.
So, all right, Alec, who's next? Do Richie?
Yeah, I do want to do Richie.
Let's see. This is, oh my God. You can talk first, but I'm excited.
So, Richie from season one, I hated it. I was like, this guy is such a dick. He's not getting it. You know, he's not getting that they're on their last legs. And like, if they don't fix shit, this shit is going to go under and he's out of a freaking job. But towards the end of season one, you see him like front of the house, kind of get it together. And, you know, he's still a little shaky. In the beginning of the season with him, kind of questioning his purpose mm-hmm. it set him up so well because he grew so much in such a short amount of time. He stepped up to the plate, you know what I mean, and he became such a treat. Like, he is their de facto brother now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like he is Carmi and Sugar's brother. He's taken the place of Mikey, and I loved when Carmi gave Richie the hat that he found in the locker.
Yeah,
because Carmi obviously could have kept it himself. I'm sure he wanted to keep it. Like, it meant something to all of them. It was from when they had the food truck at some kind of like whatever. But he's so funny, and you see a lot about his background with his wife, and he loves his daughter, whose daughter was so funny and so cute too. Yeah. And she was like, yeah, and Uncle Frank or whatever. And I really like how he got it together. He went to that restaurant, he learned so much, and he proved that his biggest strength is his skill with people, mm-hmm. his skills with people. And he had that one-on-one with Chef Terry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said it, Carmi believes in you. And he was right. You're great with people. And I thought that was awesome.
He needed that too. He needed the combination of that staging experience and Tiffany telling him that she was going to get married to Frank. Cause that was like the kick in the ass that he needed to be like, okay, fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, and he kind of says it at the beginning of the staging thing, like fucking 42 years old, wiping forks off. Like, what the fuck? And kind of says it a little bit in the flashback as well to Jimmy when he's like, you know, I don't want to be wrapping beef sandwiches for the rest of my life, blah, 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 blah. But I just one of the best like season journeys with a character that I can remember like in recent television experience for me.
Certainly. I love those little hints of him and his wife having some problems even when she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was getting like unreasonably mad at him for stupid shit, and he couldn't handle it.
Yeah. And you also see like the way that he means well, like with the whole like Carmy and Claire scene at Christmas, where like he's trying to tell Carmy, like, dude, no, like it's a good thing. Like, we talked to her, it's okay. And Carmy obviously wasn't handling it because there's obviously such a history of them being fucking dickheads to him, just because that's how it goes.
Why do you think that? Because you always fuck with me.
Yeah, exactly. Carmy, she's hot now. And he's like, homie, you have a wife. So what? Whatever he said, he said.
Yeah, no, Richie was fucking fantastic.
You guys nailed it. Like, I think before this season, I wasn't a huge Richie fan, and now I'm flag planning that he's a top three character of this show. The character development was amazing. I'm going as far to say that I think Richie's episode might be my favorite of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, I even wrote in my notes, like, when he takes over in the finale. Dude, I was like emotional.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, dude, this is killing me how great this is. He's so freaking fun to watch. And that character development, like, we're there. Like, it's going to stick. Like, he's not going to go backwards. Like, yeah, he already fought through the adversity. I think it's only up for him. And I was just so happy when he's just like staring there, staring at, like, just straight. And Sydney's like, you can do it. Like, and it's so good, man.
Yeah. It's like
so
that 10 second. He gives himself like 10 seconds and it's like, yep, the sound's a little distorted and he's like kind of locking in. And then yep, it's like, okay, let's go.
And he's clutch. He's
way better at Sydney at like the random little ad libs. Like, I fucking love you all.
Yeah.
No, chef.
That's when the Pearl Jam song drops.
He's like, 5 minutes and we can all go outside and smoke a cigarette.
Yeah. We should sing soon, dude. It was just, I was.
Who wants a fucking party?
Like, he is now just one of my top three favorite characters of the show. And I never would have thought I was going to get here at the beginning of the season. Like, he's a good character before his development, like for the show. But like, now he's a great character.
It was really his idea to kind of turn the podium around. They kind of did it at the same time, him and Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that he took initiative. It shows that he really, whatever he learned at that place resonated, and he's going to instill it onto everyone else around him at this new place at the Bear. It's exciting.
I wear suits now.
Yeah, baby. What does Bag say? He's like, that's awesome.
Every single one of them had a good comment. Like, you look great.
Yeah. It was so good, man.
Little funny, like, keynote of Richie. He's obviously not Italian, but he was so close with Mikey that, like, he thinks he's Italian. And they said it in season one a bunch, too.
Like, you're not
one of the funniest
Italian
parts. I laughed out loud. It's not meant to be funny, but Sugar got up and she's visibly pregnant. And he goes, ma, che bella. It's just so funny, especially for me. I love The Sopranos. And like, while I was watching The Sopranos, I felt like I was a freaking Pizon. And he is that. And I just love it.
I think it's going to be a good test to see how Kathleen feels about Richie at the end of the season, because I think she was lower on him.
Yeah.
I could be misquoting that, but I'm pretty sure he's the makes kind sense of character that she would be lower in,
yeah,
at least to the point of the end of season one. So if he can win her over, I feel like he's got to be a top three fan favorite. Yeah.
I just loved the kind of direction and the idea behind, like, him being so into the, like, acts of service. Like, when Garrett explains why he loves working in the restaurant so much, because he gets to make people stay and, like, going above and beyond for people, what that can do for yourself. And, like, that hit Richie so hard. It was so perfect. It was so great for his character. It was literally exactly what he needed. And, like, watching him do it at the Bear with, like, Sydney's dad, where, like, you know he doesn't drink. So then, like, Fat walks up with the soda pop card and they get the fucking chocolate covered banana for Jimmy. And then he also tells Marcus to 86 the Mostarda because her dad doesn't eat cherries. And Sydney, like, gives him a head nod and, like, appreciates it. I can't wait to see more of that in the future. Like, just Richie doing those little things for everyone. It's just, like, really, really nice to watch.
He said it himself. He's like, I feel like I have so much potential that I'm not reaching. And he's going to reach it, I believe.
And obviously, because this whole season was about building up the kitchen, the Bear, next season I think it's going to go back to the roots of, like, we're actually going to be seeing a lot more of the kitchen stuff like we're talking about now. We didn't get a lot this season, obviously.
Yeah, they didn't cook it.
It's gonna be really good when they, because they're gonna, I'm sure they're gonna have some really good details in there, especially with all the learning every single one of our characters did.
I wonder how big of a role these new cooks are gonna have. I mean,
we'll see.
I hope they start building them up a little bit, besides the crackhead.
Yeah, he's gone.
Josh
is 86.
You need to, because, like, a kitchen is a family.
Yeah.
And they're now a part of it. And hopefully Kendall Roy is.
That'd be sick. One thing I guess a little final thing on Richie is, I liked that, because I was thinking that the whole time watching, the door to the dining room is right there. And they're all just screaming at each other, and it's like the people would totally hear them.
Oh yeah,
like he, like Richie, I guess, celebrates at the end when he's like, "Fuck yeah!" And then he literally turns around and
they say it's getting a little loud back in the kitchen.
Okay,
it was him. Yeah. He walks up.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's getting a little loud here, guys.
Yeah,
Tommy's like locked in the fridge.
Yeah. That just like feels like it's a recipe for disaster because like you literally open that door and someone's just dropping 18 f bombs, and everyone at the bar who's literally a straight shot into the kitchen is like, "Okay." The last thing I'll say on Richie before we move into my character is that him and Chef Jess, that's the future, I think. I hope so. She gives him that like longing look when she like says like, "It was so nice to meet you," or whatever. And then like she looks back or whatever.
He also checked her out when she first popped up.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm about that, but I don't know if they'll bring her back.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just nice like to show us like, cause it was like kind of right on the aftermath of Tiffany telling him that she's going to get married. So like now he kind of, like we said, has that like baggage lifted a little bit. He can get out there and maybe there's room for a Richie love interest. Show Carmi how it's done.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I will pick my boy Marcus is going to be the character that we'll talk about next. I fucking loved his episode. It was that's the only episode pre episode 6 that got a 9.0 or above on IMDb. Mm. It was just, he needed that so bad. Like, he obviously, they made a focus of him like taking care of his mom so much in this season. And it was just so nice to see him like outside in that like different environment. It also was nice to see like the connections that Carmi has across the world. Like, he gets to meet Luca, who we all love, Will Poulter. That whole episode was great. He's just such a nice guy. The stuff with Sydney is a little weird and because it doesn't hit right. And they both kind of know it. Yeah. And he like kind of means well, but doesn't. But I just like the idea of him like going on that trip, like eating a bunch of food, breaking it down, bringing new recipes back. It was just I really like Marcus's character.
Yeah, he has a really cool role in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Of just being the dessert guy. The Copenhagen thing was amazing. Like, I love seeing that. Just it was great to see. And I agree, that episode was freaking awesome, especially because Will Poulter was great. Like, I was just waiting for him to be a dick the whole time, but he just never was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I just thought he was just gonna be an asshole.
Yeah,
not like Carmi, honestly.
He was honestly or even a little kind of like Uncle Jimmy, where it was like he was telling him the real worse, like, do it again stuff, but it was like still nice and they had an open conversation and things like that. I like that part of Marcus, that Marcus was like willing to go on that journey and experience. Like, I feel like I would have been so intimidated
right.
to get into a kitchen like that,
because season one Marcus was a little fragile.
Yeah,
I mean, he was like trying to shove that donut he made Dude. Down their throat, and that really bothered me that episode. I was like, what is he doing? Can he read the room?
Yeah.
And then this guy's telling them worse, and he's like, so what's the key? And then Lucas was like, well, we used to think I was the best, and then I realized I wasn't. And then Marcus has got the gist. He's like, so basically you need to fuck up. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You need to fuck up.
That was good.
I think that the Marcus season one stuff was some of my least favorite things of the entire show.
Yeah.
Like, I hated that. It was that and then a bunch of the Sydney season one stuff that, like, when I think of like the worst parts about the show, it's those two things right off the bat, which is funny because now they're trying to ship them.
Yeah.
Are we completely on the train that's not going to happen?
No,
I'm interested in it happening. It's just is so horribly awkward.
It's just one sided. Like, Marcus obviously has like a little crush and Sydney's like, this is my bro.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, I don't have too much to really add about Marcus because like everything he did was good this season. Mm-hmm. And like he rallied for me in my head from season one. But again, like, not the most important guy right now, at least for season two. But yeah, he's a good guy.
He also bakes the bread.
Yeah.
I loved how they showed how caring he is. He saved he helped that man who crashed his bike. I love the little tidbit that he was a college football player. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean,
yeah.
He's huge. And he's so caring of his mother. It's like, who's Michael Jordan?
That was so nice too when he gets the note and Luca signs it, Luca number 33.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. He sends him the every second
Luca
counts.
The Luca Carmi picture was sweet too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Looking like bosses.
Yeah. Marcus, he's the teddy bear of the group. You know, he cares about everybody. And
how about his ending though?
Oh yeah.
With the phone.
Crush him. It could destroy him.
Yeah, it's gonna be really, really interesting.
I hope she didn't pass. I hope it was like an emergency. I don't know.
No, his mom passed.
Yeah, I think she totally did.
I'm kind of happy we're over that though, because it was gonna happen. Like, it was there. But so, you know.
I like his friend too. His friend that takes him to the airport. I forget what the hell his name is.
I don't think that's his friend. I think that's like one of Richie and Carmi's boys again.
No, I thought he comes in to see more. Oh, I guess maybe then
that's
they became
the guy. He was sitting with Theo Fack.
Yeah, he was. But I feel like, I don't know. They come in for him in season one, too. I feel like they talked to him in season one as well.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah.
He asked him to check on his mom.
Yeah. So yeah. I just thought that was nice. It seems like he has, like, we don't get to see anyone else's friends. So it's besides the facts. The facts are the only friends that we get to see, really.
He really grew, too, as a baker. I mean, he had brought great ideas to the bear, and I think everybody's going to really enjoy what he has to offer.
Yeah, and it was a great moment when he presents the Michael, and Carmi's like, you can really throw it down, huh? Just reusing that line that Marcus said to him in season one.
No, the Michael was a great moment.
Yeah.
That was I knew it was going to be called, like, the Mike, too, because that was, like, a blocker for Carmi, like, the whole cannoli thing.
Yeah.
Good on Marcus.
I'm good on Marcus.
Good on Marcus.
All right, so I will go next with another one of my favorite characters, and I'm gonna pick Sugar.
Good one.
She killed it for this season. I thought she was great. I'm happy that she's part of the business more rather than like a side part of the family.
Yeah,
like I thought she just did really, really well here. I like her husband a lot. Remind me if he was in the first season.
He was.
Okay. They kept calling him a tool and stuff.
Yeah.
He's at the, when they knock him out with the fucking punch at the party.
Oh my God.
He brings it to the casserole. They flame him.
Dude, oh my God.
She's so cute and she's just like, get shit done. And like everything she's got going on, she's just very competent at what she's doing. Like without her, none of this gets done really. Like, and she handles the Uncle Jimmy stuff really well. Like she basically is just such a good manager of the bar, like from the business side, that I just didn't know how much I wanted her in the show. Like she grew into that kind of character, because she's basically a main character in my head.
Yeah, for sure.
She is.
Yeah, I also like the idea that like her backstory is that she works at a bank is perfect. Mm-hmm. Simple, explains enough about her, like that she can do well in the role. She understands the business side, all of the interest rates, the loans, all that kind of stuff. Like that's just all it needed to be. She used to work at a bank. Now she handles all that stuff. One-to-one, easy peasy.
I really wonder if her actress was pregnant in real life or that was part of it. Because that didn't really add much yet.
Not yet, no. But I mean, I think her and Richie, to talk about Richie a little more too, is like that was a good way to show Richie's growth as well. Because the two of them kind of were at each other's throats. She was in episode like 4 or 5, was like, you got to fucking do something about Richie. Like, he's awful. Mm-hmm. Then obviously they kind of reconnect a little bit at the end. And he's like, really like, ciao bella, or whatever the fuck he says.
Who's the closest person outside my office? Come here. And so he's like, all right, let's
sweet.
So I didn't know his name was Gary.
But yeah, it's Gary Sweeps, whatever his last name is.
I just wrote Sweeps down.
She's crucial to the bear and the operations of the restaurant. She's COO. And they need that because even Sydney, like, they have no other skills except for, like, the restaurant, except for cooking. And
that's literally it. They have no personal skills.
Yeah, they have no personal skills. They have no soft skills. They have no, they're not business savvy. They are dreamers. While Jimmy is the guy on the outside, like keeping it real, she's there day by day. She's the project manager, like Sydney's promoter, nominated her as. I really hope that she takes on this role as her main gig, because her husband said, like, I love this you more because you come home and you're not mad all the time.
Yeah.
While she's in the fucking chaos and like screaming her head off, like she does love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love Sugar too.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorite characters as well.
I mean, by design, I hate everything to do with her and the mother's relationship.
Yeah.
Like, by design. We're supposed to hate that. I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's the mom's fault, right?
Totally.
Like, yeah.
We're going to talk shit on
Anna. Yeah, we'll get there.
She was like, you okay?
That was
Carmi, Mikey, and they're all just like,
oh my God, that was so bad. Yeah. Their reactions were perfect. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so bad.
Because Mikey was freaking out too. And he was having his moment. Like, he was having an episode, but that was enough to click him out of it for a split second and be like, oh my God, you know, Sugar, what did you just do?
She also, like, her presence, I feel like, gives you hope for Carmi. Yeah. Like, she has like a loving relationship. Like, obviously he says, like, he as in Pete says, like, you know, she's mad at home or whatever, but clearly they like love each other, and like she is capable of having this level of a relationship
with
someone else.
Deal with them.
Yeah, so like
she's Carmi's mom,
so like Carmi hopefully can, like, you know, see that they're not just like all damaged people that are hopeless, you know.
Yeah, it's true. While they always teased her for having the schlub of a husband, even though he's proven to be a really nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, he's the man.
She's the only one with a normal life, a healthy life. She's going to have a child. She's going to have a family. That's something for, it's a great mold for Carmi to base his life on.
Yeah. And her blonde hair looks great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She looked really, yeah, I thought so too. She is pretty.
Right on my alley.
All right.
Oh my God. All right, we're good with Sugar?
I believe I am. Yes. I just want to, I guess, for, because I don't think Pete needs his own spotlight. He's right. Obviously attached to the hip to Sugar. I love Pete. I thought Pete did a great job in the finale. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he didn't want to have to do that, but I think he handled it really well in the sense that he kind of protected Sugar and protected Don at the same time. Very difficult
he's
task
just a good guy,
for him to do. He's just a great guy.
It was hilarious when he brings the tuna
to
this, and everybody just shits on him.
I know. They were so mean to him.
I couldn't come empty handed.
Yeah, Lee was so mean to him. I was like, oh my God.
Dude, he's a fucking dick. Yeah, like, well, I love Bob Odenkirk, and he has some funny moments, little quick quips, but man, like, he was mean.
And just to shout out John Mulaney's character, Steve, because I love Steve. When Steve was the only one that was like, it was really nice of you to do that. Like, we know, like, I know that you meant well. It just like, just kind of a swing and a miss.
Let's just rip Steve while we're doing P2, because like, I've already been gushing over most of his quotes, but like, honestly, that was my favorite supporting character of the show.
Oh, he
like,
was fantastic.
He was so freaking good. And then add on top, he had a real moment with the speech at the dinner. Mm-hmm. That was incredible. Like, it was so awkward, but it was good at the same time. And then just everything, every one of his interactions with every character, he was funny as fuck.
He had their all their attention when he was doing it off the top of his head.
He knew how to handle all of them so well, like to be like, he didn't fall into like being mean, like the way that they all are kind of like at each other's throats, would also handle the situations fairly well. And it was just like interesting to watch him do that. Like when Carmi's like yelling at Mikey and Richie. And then Steve is there in the background, like, Carm, like, this is actually a good thing. Like, it's okay, you know, type of deal. Like, he fell into that role, I think, really well. And he's not even actually part of the family. I mean, him and Michelle.
He's married. Yeah. Sarah Paulson.
He's married. Yeah. Okay.
And
married.
She was great, too, but she just didn't get a lot. I was surprised that they gave more to Stevie. Is it Stevie or Steve?
Mikey calls him Stevie.
I love that. Yeah. So do I. So. But she was great too. She just didn't get a lot. And I hope that wasn't just a random cameo. Cause like you're saying, like I was the second they said they can't make it, I was like, dude, are you kidding me? I was just looking forward to that.
It probably wasn't worth it enough. Cause like then they would have to give them scenes at the table. And
Jamie Lee Curtis, like, that was, she came back
more impactful, I would say, than anything Steve and Michelle were going to give us, you know. But I like Michelle kind of, again, she makes sense because Steve was kind of that way where like he was just kind of knew how to handle kind of the situations a little bit beyond obviously going into the fucking kitchen when they all told him don't fucking go in there. But then the other half of them, like Richie and Lee, like, go in there. Just fucking with them. But Michelle is also fairly clear eyed about the family. He got away to New York. Like, she doesn't really interact with them so much. And I like that she kind of extended that olive branch to Carmi, was like, knows that he has this insane potential.
Yeah.
Being around these people isn't healthy. Like, you should come stay with me.
Right.
And type of deal.
And was she not getting high with Thack too?
Oh, she was.
She was. Cool.
Yeah. And they didn't want to like say something that she didn't like. So like they're talking about their sister and she's like, yeah, like whatever. Like, she's a bitch. And like, yeah. She's like, and then they're like, bye. Like, she's kind of nice. And then she's like, no, not nice. She's like, no, not nice. Not nice. That was a really funny scene.
Yes. To wrap Steve up, I really appreciated in his speech when he mentioned how he doesn't really have a family and like he really, despite all the chaos, loves being there. And it made it feel real, you know. It made it feel like they were all coming home for the holidays and this guy's a significant other, but he's become part of all of it.
It was a good real moment. So he was one of my favorites.
And Mikey summed it up. He's like, that was beautiful, Steve.
All right, who we got left? Let's just do the next big hitter, Sydney.
Because this is probably Sydney.
This is going to be like the probably the more controversial one that we do. But go ahead, you start.
I really respect her perseverance. Mm-hmm. You know, she's gone through a lot. We learned that she lost her mother at a young age. She has a little bit of a funny relationship with her father because he wants her to have some stability, but she's chasing her dreams, which is fine. You know, I applaud that. But you know, something just doesn't sit right sometimes when we're in the kitchen, everybody's like screaming and she's like, oh, come on, dude, like, don't say that, dude. It's just like, it doesn't match the vibe, you know. And I feel like she's kind of like a buzzkill sometimes, but maybe that's the point of her character.
She's just so awkward. And it's tough because they all know each other kind of so well. Like Tina and Ibra have worked at the Beef forever. They know Richie for a long time. They've known Marcus for years. You know, they know kind of, Fak is like, doesn't really care because he's just so authentically himself. Like Carmi obviously knows Richie and Sugar and everything like that. Like Sydney is still kind of an outsider a little bit. And I think she wears it on her sleeve so much. She's just so awkward. Every interaction she has with another character, especially Marcus, is just like really kind of awkward. I liked the way they explored her and Carmi's relationship this season. I was really worried about like they kept talking about early season, like when she goes on the food run, when Carmi kind of leaves her high and dry a little bit. And they're all the chefs she's talking to are like, you know, you got to have a good partner. Like, you got to have a good partner. You got to have a good partner. And I was like getting really worried about how it was going to turn out. And thankfully, it didn't turn out the bad way I thought it was going to. Like, they actually were able to have conversations, her and Carmi, about like what she needs from him and things like that. But I agree. And it's just the awkwardness of her is tough.
Yeah, this is probably good. I figured was going to be one of my more controversial takes here is that I think like her highs to me are some of the best examples of writing for the show, but her lows are some of the worst parts about the show is how I kind of view it, because her and Carmi's relationship is the backbone of everything, like how they interact. So many different examples of like really cool things, like the sorry thing we were talking about earlier, just the way that she is like almost like the second best chef that we've ever seen, right? Mm-hmm. Like she's just so good. All of that stuff is great. And just the way her and Carmi bounce off each other, they need each other to kind of center each other. Like, I love it. Like, I think like without Sydney, there's no show, like besides like Carmi, obviously too, but I don't know. I get why the community might dislike her, but like her, you're saying perseverance and like motivation, all that thing. It's just like, it's kind of could have been the thesis of the show, like when the writers were sitting down to write it, like how do we make Carmi's gonna be our main character, but Sydney's you kind of have to play around her relationship in the kitchen with Carmi being the head chef and stuff like that. And I just feel like that's like when it's hitting is almost the best thing about the show for me. I just really like that, especially because she gets highlighted as like the omelet episode. She makes that omelet like 5 minutes for Sugar and she's like, oh my god, this is the best thing ever. Like,
she makes juices. I love that little detail of her mixing those two juices.
The plate was immaculate, the serving tray.
Best tier chef. And that's like amazing. And she has her problems with Carmi back and forth. She needs to have some personal things going on in the show, but I really, really appreciate her. Because when she is having those little growth moments and when she is learning about the industry through Carmi, you're really getting that as the audience. So I get it. Like, you can hate her because she's not like the funniest. She's not the most fun to watch, but she's great at acting. And I think the writing around her is probably one of the more thought out parts of the show. But that's all I'll leave it at. I'm not sitting here saying she's a top three character for me, which is probably 4 or 5 just because of how important she is to the Bear. But that's all I got to say about her.
One thing I liked about her story this season is that, you know, while this is Carmi's brainchild, this is Sydney's baby.
Yeah.
And you really see all the work she put in. You see it through her point of view more than Carmi's, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, so cooking. She's trying out different menu items, test kitchens. She's picking out the plates.
Work, you know what I'm saying? It made the audience get the impression that maybe she like cares a little bit more than Carmi. And that's why, not necessarily, but that's when I was starting to get upset with like Carmi and Claire. I'm like, oh my God, he's losing his focus.
Yeah.
Like Sydney might try to like cut him off or try to break off. And like, you can't have that because they're the foundation of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're making this happen. The show doesn't run. It doesn't go on without them. And we need Sydney. I think Luke hit it perfectly. Like, I just don't think she's funny.
She's
tough.
But I think you nailed it that, like, she is, she's relentless. So, like, she's always going to be going for the goal and she doesn't lose focus.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the core part of her character. She's never going to have, I don't think she'll have that plot point where she's going through what Carmi's going through at the end of season 2, which is nice because with Marcus. What?
She's going to be going through it with Marcus.
I was thinking about that. I was like, there's no way they would.
Well, they both work in the same kitchen together. So that's how it could work.
Marcus is, he doesn't have enough baggage like Carmi does for her to get fucked up by all that.
Oh, I thought you meant for her to like him and date him.
A little bit of a weird vibe from the dad, though, if I'm being honest. I don't really know how much I like Sydney's dad. Like that interaction.
I think it's tough because, like Aki said, he just really wants stability from her. He doesn't understand her perspective. That's why at the end it was nice when they had that interaction when he says to her, like, it's the thing. It's the thing. He finally is now realizing that, like, she's A, good at it, and B, like, there's a potential there for it to be something more, because he obviously knows how much he cares about it, but it's like he just wants to see her like actually have a stable life, like you said. And it's kind of, and they've shown too that like she's obviously had a rocky past within the industry. She lives with him. He is well aware, I feel like, of the career struggles that she's had in the past. So I think he's kind of just...
But he's a loving dad. And I think that's... Sydney's a loving person.
Yeah.
She, while she has the trauma of losing her mother at a young age, her father obviously cared for her deeply and was a good
dad. And she's an only child. And she's so, like, they really only have each other.
True.
And that also plays into how fucking awkward she is.
Yeah.
That, like, she doesn't have... Like, I mean, obviously you can have friends throughout your life and things like that, but I think that's kind of part of why that's part of her character. Is it kind of plays into the awkwardness that she has. Like when she is with Tina and they're cooking late at night and she's like talking about the dish and is it too busy or whatever. And Tina like makes a joke and she just like doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. And then it just becomes awkward. And Tina's like, I'm fucking with you. And then Sydney's like, oh, I'm fucking with you too. Like, it's just like, there's so many, she has a lot of interactions like that,
which
just like you said, they're not funny really. They're not necessarily entertaining. It's just the way her character is.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say on her is I don't even want to call it a trope because it's not that common at all, but it was a really cool moment that like the whole backstory of this entire show going back to the pilot is Sydney seeking out the best of the best, regardless of like what his current status is. That's just like, you know, like that'd be like going to seek out Rurouni Kenshin, like even though he's in a back alley, because you're like, dude, you're the goat at swords fight.
Yeah.
Like, teach me.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. It's like, it has like a beautiful little like shine to it, because it's like she doesn't care about the money or the fame, she cares about the craft.
Yeah.
And like, that's really cool that she went to Carmi, because Carmi's the goat. And the that's always cool. Just like,
Carmi's got some
that.
Freaking clout, dude.
Yeah, dude.
The interesting flip side of that is that they were struggling to hire people
this
season, which kind of feels somewhat incongruent. But also you could say that it was because maybe Sydney was heading it. Like if Carmi was out there doing it, maybe it would have.
They did hit the COVID thing for a second, saying like all the restaurants are kind of going out of business, like the market's tight and stuff like that. So
she has that super awkward moment where she's trying to poach their shit. So she has out the back door. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? She like shuffles away. She's like, ah! Yeah, that was good.
I love their little montage of her trying all the foods. Like,
yeah,
everything
that was fun. That was
so good.
Like a fucking YouTube video that I watched, just like going around Chicago restaurants and trying food.
It was, I hope it's not like a hint at the inevitable fate of like the bear, with her seeing her friend's restaurant close so shortly after she visited it.
I just think that goes back to the idea we talked about of like, what is the ending of the show going to be? And I don't think anyone wants to fucking watch the show like the restaurant close. Like depending on the way they do it, but I feel like maybe it's realistic, and they've harped on the point, like you said, that a lot of the restaurants have these struggles and they close down and things like that, but is that really what we want to watch? And is that like the story they want to give us? Like, I don't think so.
The focal point is always like the restaurant.
I just think the story is going to be about them like persevering past their personal struggles, like creating this team. Like, she's been reading all the Coach K stuff, which at some level it was nice they brought that in, but I'm not a big Coach K fan, so it was like whatever.
As a basketball coach, I've learned to appreciate Coach K
there you go.
A lot.
The end of the show is going to be one of two things. Either they're going to get that last, what's it called, the Michelin star?
Michelin star,
or they're going to be like how they were talking about the best restaurant in the world. Like, they could be classified as the best restaurant in the world. Something like that. That's how I see ending being.
Marcus went there. It closed down, but he was there in Noma in Copenhagen.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what, because they got it the same, whatever they were saying. Like, they got the...
Wait, that closed down in real life? Is that what
in real life it closed down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe a year ago or months ago. I don't really remember.
Sad. It's tough, man. It's a doggy dog world out there in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take her home. What else we got here? We got a couple more people, right?
We did Tina, right? So Kyle's next.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we can just do Tina.
Perfect.
We're trying to, I guess, get through the cooking staff. Mm-hmm. She is in like almost every episode, but she doesn't really play a super main role. But I would say second to Richie in terms of character development. I mean, just because she's not as prominent in the show as Richie is, she was fucking fantastic. She literally hit the ground running, was so excited the opportunity to go to culinary school. Like, she fucking rocked it out of the park. Like, she was getting praised there. She was killing it in the kitchen. Like, they gave her so much more responsibility. Like, she was confident
She's
and everything. Yeah, she was killing it. It was fucking awesome to watch.
I don't have a bad thing to say about Tina.
Like, nah, I
honestly,
her.
You're saying best character development. I think, like, season one, she had maybe the most character development.
Yes.
Because that's when she
she came around
hateable to like really likable and a key cog, and now she's just like it. So
Jen.
I don't have much to add to her, but like, she's a great character, and
yeah,
definitely just a good supporting cast member.
She's the OG Jeffrey.
Jeffrey. That's so good, man.
It's so funny.
So good.
I loved her singing.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
I was nervous going into that scene when she shows up. And
they were gonna be like, who the fuck is this?
The reception wasn't like super lukewarm, but I think it was just classic. Hey, like you're kind of like work friend.
We're friends.
Yeah, it was just kind of that. I was gonna get nervous that they were didn't expect her to come and like what well, that kind of stuff, and we're gonna be weirded out by it, but it didn't work out like that, which was nice. Because it was like, and I'm sorry to kind of just keep harping, but no. It was like they paralleled it really well because the same episode, it's Carmi is at the party uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So it's like both of them kind of navigating those social situations. And Tina knocks it out of the park. Carmi does it in his own way, where he fucking makes up that he's just that person that they think he is, but he's not.
I really felt for her. She showed up in that bar, like all dolled up.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh, Tina. Yeah. Felt that like, oh, she's really like stepping out of her comfort zone here. She's trying really hard to fit in and make friends. And she was also so touched when they like ask her mm-hmm. to come out with them. Mm-hmm. She had the balls to go sing the karaoke. Like, it just says so much about her. It showed, like we've all said, how much she's grown and how she's continuing to grow. You know, when Richie was at that place and he asked the kid, he's like, are you drinking the Kool-Aid? He's like, yeah, I am. Tina's drinking that Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
man.
She is.
It's in her veins, bro. Yeah.
It's good Kool-Aid. Just naturally have to go to Ibrahim.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will just say, I hate it what they did in that episode for him. I just thought it was awful.
I feel like they screwed him kind of.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, like he got like sandbagged, and I didn't respect the decision that he made as a character, like all of that. Like, I don't want to be super negative about him because I just feel like he's super underdeveloped compared to the rest of the crew, but like I wasn't in for what, look, for him just sandbagging everybody else.
Well, he's older, you know. It's yeah. hard for an older guy like that to change. He has his routine. He has his patterns.
Right? Yeah, they showed flashbacks of like them when he first started working there. And Mikey's like, oh, like he's learning and all that kind of stuff. Like, I felt like he had such an emotional connection to Mikey and the old beef, like more than anyone
sure.
there. Like he it, did. Yeah. So that's, I think, was like they literally walked in and the fucking whole place was blown out the insides. And he was just like, this is a lot of change.
He was scared. Like, you know, the yeah. old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Mm-hmm. I was unhappy with him not willing to like buy in.
Yeah, I was upset that he pissed away the opportunity to go to culinary school.
But I'm also kind of happy that he's still there and he gets to do the OG stuff.
Yeah, that's good. Like, that's a great wrinkle.
It suits him, I think. So whatever, like he'll probably take a back seat in these upcoming seasons and he might even retire for all we know. Who knows?
Nah, he won't retire. He's going to be slinging beefs out of that fucking window.
I want to try that guy then.
Slightly forgettable. I mean, I'm not going to be Rosie this whole podcast. And if we've been gassing up everybody, he's just one of the three that slots into those bottom slots.
Yeah, he's just a whatever guy.
And then I'll follow that up by saying, I feel like a lot of wasted potential happened for sweeps. Like, I got nothing out
yeah.
of him.
Yeah, I was disappointed in that.
I would have guaranteed that we were getting a backstory for him or something.
Yeah, maybe
he actually was part of the professionalism at the end, and he was good. He was helpful.
Yeah, he looked great too.
I just like, I don't care about him yet, and I have no reason to care about him yet. This,
I was upset because in season one he wasn't a prominent figure, but he was funny. Like he had a lot of funny interactions. You found out he played minor league baseball. Like he had, you know, he had some depth.
Yeah,
and they did not. I think they might get.
We might get there in season three.
Well, it feels like he's kind of potentially almost like that Garrett role, like way that Garrett played at the restaurant that Richie staged at. Fack obviously was like out in the front too, but Sweeps feels more of like that right hand. Actually, does it like will run out and get the forks, like do all of that kind of stuff.
He used to literally wash dishes and sweep.
Yeah, right? So, and you know he's the one that delivers the chocolate covered bananas. So I feel like there's room there for him for sure. Like, but I agree.
Garrett got more lines and screen time.
Oh yeah,
did.
I literally like almost Garrett. Forgot his name. Yeah,
I like Garrett.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I for most of the season I feel like I forgot that his name was Sweeps or Garrett.
Exactly. So
yeah,
not like a criticism on the guy or anything like the actor, but it's just like they gave him nothing as writers.
Yeah. I mean, and there was a lot for them to do. They gave a lot to a lot of different characters. So naturally, I guess, like, you know, Ibra, him kind of had to fall a little bit to the wayside. Yeah. But just speaking of dishwashers, they just weren't in this season at all. The dishwasher from season one. They might have been in the first when they're packing up the dishes and then they just kind of didn't show up.
Oh, right. That big dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. When he's like, hey, when you fucking bring these back, like take the tape off because then it gets wet and we can't take it off. I just remember that because that was me at Hills washing dishes and they used to fucking put tape and like stickers on shit and then not take it off. Then it gets wet and you have to fucking scrub every little bitch off of it. So
I
kind of
disappointed myself. I totally forgot about that guy.
Yeah. Yes. They just didn't. I mean, we'll see. But
let's do Mama Bear next then. We'll just. Because I feel like, you know.
Dude, a lot of unravel there.
It was hard to watch.
She was the most frustrating character of the entire show.
Yeah, it was literally unbelievable.
She's like, nobody wants to help me. Everybody's like trying to help her. She's like, get the fuck out of the kitchen. It's like crazy, dude. So much turmoil, so much toxicity. Oh, man, she was the reason why I kept having to pause the episode. I mean, it was so much chaos.
And the fucking timer kept going off.
Oh, my gosh. She had like five fucking timers. They were all covered in sauce. She was just chugging like communion wine, it looked like. It was awful.
Uncle Jimmy was keeping her lined up every time he was in the kitchen. Like, he was talking her down a little bit. But then every time she would just get drunker and drunker and more crazy. And explain to me what I was supposed to take away from Carmi staring at the cannolis at the end.
He says it too, like later on, like that is just like the trigger for him. Like, he just associates that moment with cannolis because like that's where the fork landed, the last one. That's
the thing that I was like, why are they doing this?
Yeah. And that's like in the midst of all the craziness, like that was a detail that he noticed. And then that is like what stuck with him. And he says later on, like, every time I fucking see cannolis, like, I literally think about how my mom drove a fucking car through our house on Christmas.
It was just tough, and I love Jamie Lee Curtis, but just tough.
I'm surprised that, okay, well, I'm not surprised why everybody hated her, but dude, she acted the hell out of role, man.
Not that everyone hated her, it's just, like, that was the criticisms that I had seen, like, the small criticism of the show was people were like, she was, like, way too much. But it felt like that's kind of the point, what they were going for,
It's like Carmi's
She was overwhelming, yeah. She, like, had such an impact on every other character. Like, she put everyone else on edge. Because of, like, just the stink that was emanating from the kitchen.
It was sad to see how she had to make every moment. She had to put herself in the middle every moment. Like, she had to be the main point of everything. Everything was about her. Like, nobody wants to help me. I've been up since 4 a.m. And, I mean, shit, that shit's hard.
Yeah.
But you have people there that are willing to help. And it's like the boy who cried wolf, right? She's just calling for help, but she's not taking it because she has too much pride. She obviously has so much damage about losing her husband, like, and I don't know, she said it, like, I don't know how to love these kids, I don't know how to show these kids that I love them.
Yeah,
can you remind me, do we know how the husband died?
Not that I remember.
That's a mystery.
Okay.
Yeah,
I will say,
we don't even know if he's dead. Technically, he might have left. We don't really know.
That's true, he could have walked out. I will say, I would have fucked that meal up, bro. Seven fishes. Ooh. Come on.
He was whipping it up.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
I was
all came together really well.
Yeah,
that's what they showed.
You can see where they get it from.
And that was one of my biggest criticisms of that episode was, even when Carmi was in the kitchen, he wasn't, I expected more out of Carmi when he was in the I know she wasn't going to let him.
She made it impossible on him.
Agreed.
I
just
he literally just whipped up Sprite. That was cool.
Like, I don't know. But either way, the fish is look great. Yeah.
Well, she was like, you know, like, we got to like put the bronzino in there, and then I think that timer will go off. And then you put the lobsters in, and like when you put the lobsters in after a certain amount of time, then you take the bronzino out or whatever. And she told him all these things, and then the next thing they talk, she's like, "Why didn't you fucking move the pot? Like, I asked you to move the pot." And he's like, "When the fuck did you ask me to move the pot?" And she's like, "Just move the fucking pot." And he's like, "Okay, I'm moving the fucking pot." And like that, like for him, like, he obviously works in a kitchen where people yell at him and stuff, but it's like organized.
Yeah,
like it's organized chaos. Organized, like, chaos, all of the right, fucking handles are at 45 degree angles, like everything's where it should be, all that kind of stuff. It's not like that, so I'm sure for him it's almost probably harder to cook that way.
She needs some serious help.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, and fucking, and Stevie was, I thought he was just soft landing, bringing us down home with the nice words, and then fucking Sugar had to say, "Are you okay,
dude?"
Oh, what's driving me crazy with the mother is like the cigarettes around the food.
Yeah.
And gross. She's just like, "I know there's ash all in this sauce." You know what I mean? It's just made me so, it was gross, but that wasn't really the takeaway. It's just detail.
It was just like they did, I think, a good job. And thankfully, I guess I don't have any firsthand experience dealing with people like this, but it felt like they did a good, like, of Carmi and like Sugar, like, kind of dancing around her in the kitchen. Like, Sugar's taking up the bottles, looking at Carmi, showing him they're trying to kind of play defense a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously they're experienced at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, she has to come back, right? Because we saw her at episode 10, so she, like, that feels like a centerpiece to actually Sugar's future plot line more than Carmi. He'll obviously be ingrained in that, but she seems more likely to come back than John Mulaney or Sarah Paulson.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely, like you said, Carmi's kind of over it. He kind of explains to whoever it might be, maybe it's Sydney, where he's like, it's for her, it's bad, Sugar, this is. Yeah. He's like, "I know what to expect. Like, it's whatever," but she's the one that keeps holding out hope, and it's going to be bad for her.
And Jamie Lee Curtis seems like the person that would come back for season 3 and not just spot start like that. So I'm looking forward to that. It has to end in a positive way, because it's already as negative as it can get. And I don't quote me.
Yeah.
Because it can't get worse.
That's true. I guess it can't get worse.
All right, let's take it home with Mikey. And I feel like, Al, can you even start this one off? You seem like you got excited when we said we had him left to talk about.
I really, dude, he might be one of when I see him on the screen and you see everything he's struggling with. Excuse me, I've had two beers.
We're keeping that one in.
You totally could have lied and said it was more. No. You could have lied and said it was
the
more.
People need to know it has been a 1.5. But him dying in the show, him being dead, the more I see of him, it feels like I lost the loved
one. Yeah, they've done
so well.
Yeah, they did a great job of like creating that mythos around him with maybe 15 minutes of screen time total.
I mean, I know
I keep using the same words
over and over again, but he is so tragic. Like when Carmi presented him the gift, the drawing, it was beautiful. And he says, "This is beautiful, Carmen." And he starts breaking down and crying because he knows he's struggling with so much. He knows that he's not living up to like the older brother trope that Carmi obviously sees in him. He feels like a failure. That fucking asshole Lee was calling him a failure to his face. And you see how much he impacted everybody around him, even down at Ebro. Like Ebro, who is like a quiet, reserved man, had that picture of Mikey up on.
Yeah, he's a ride or die for Mikey.
He loves Mikey. And despite all of his faults, everybody loved Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
Despite everything, he has such a positive impact and he left such an impression that like all of this is happening, I think, for him.
Yeah.
I mean, even Marcus, he calls the dish Michael. You know, it was poetic.
Yeah, totally.
It was beautiful. And he is so awesome. He is like, I swear to God, he feels like a relative. I hope I don't have something like that ever happen to my relative or anybody that I love. But man, he killed it. John Bernthal is the man.
Yeah, just fantastic acting, I thought, for sure.
I was Team Lee over Mikey with the fork thing, though. I actually really liked, I thought that was the best part of Bob Odenkirk's thing when he's like, He's kind of being a little bit bad at it. He's like, throw a fork at me one more time. Everything,
yeah, you'll get fucking rocked.
Everybody freaks out. And then I think he's the one who calms everybody down. And then then Mikey throws the fork and everybody starts fucking fighting. Like that was like really good moment. But I definitely think like the moment that he has with Carmi in the closet when he's like, I give the most fuck. What does he say? He's like, I give the most fuck.
I give the biggest fuck.
Yeah. Like that was like a good way of just kind of like encapsulating their relationship. Like he loved Carmi.
Yeah,
so
he did Let It Rip. And that's where they got, I think that's where he wrote Let It Rip on the note that he, it was from that conversation. You got that.
Done with him, though? Like,
I hope not, man.
Might be.
Yeah.
What do we need from him that's going to add to the story and not,
that's true,
you know, risk?
I suspect that this Lee guy had some kind of thing with like his mom.
Oh, yeah.
Because when he was like, this is my father's house.
Yeah. And he says when they're Lee's helping Donna pick up like whatever the fucking artichoke or whatever the hell fell. And they're like talking and he gives her the business opportunity and Mikey's in the fridge. And he goes, oh, are we doing this again or whatever? And like it seemed like
he's trying to slide in.
Like, yeah, it was kind of like insinuating that there was some type of passage.
I straight up thought
them.
That he was like the stepdad.
Yeah,
in the beginning, like I was like, is this like who she's hooking up with now?
That would make sense. I feel like why those two, Mikey and Lee, would butt heads so much, because he's like, you know, you're not my fucking dad type of deal. And especially if him and his dad were friends, would feel like that's like a personal betrayal of your father. Yeah, for sure.
I feel like Bob Odenkirk is probably not coming back. That's just okay, from though. Like a he might, but like I don't know. I feel like he's just as likely or unlikely to come back as,
I mean,
like John Mulaney and Sarah.
If it was part of his money that they found and used to finance the restaurant, that could be a conflict.
That could be an interesting
for sure
line.
In season 3.
I just think like all of the people from that episode is just Jamie Lee Curtis that's going to be coming back.
Hopefully John Mulaney.
Dude, please, John, if you're listening, I know you are. Please, season
hopefully.
3.
I do agree that Lee was he was right.
He was right at the table.
He was right at the table. I think that Mikey didn't need to hear from him.
Sure.
It was just not the setting. For it,
nor was it the same.
Yeah, like with the story thing, it was like just go to a different room, like just let him tell the fucking story and go to a different room.
And he's just like, and thank you for the blessing of you all. And is he still holding the fork?
Yes. He's like, may God bless us and keep us safe in the new year, and give Mikey the strength to not throw that fork.
I love it, man.
Oh, he's such a jokester.
God, I want John at my freaking Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah.
I like the fire that Mikey lit in Carmi. Like, I think Carmi cooks because of Mikey, and he always resented Mikey. That's why he didn't go to his funeral, for not letting him like be at the bear and like worked at the, excuse me, the beef.
That was fucked up though.
And now it's all coming together, you know, and it's all coming together. It's Mikey's dream just as much as it is Carmi's, and Carmi's living it out. And I really hope that it all ends positive.
I think too, at that point, what you're making about Carmi doing a lot of this for Mikey, I think, excuse me, I've had two beers as well, that that plays into why Carmi is so hard on himself with this particular thing. I think it's also has to do, like he says, he failed them, like the people, like Tina and such. But also, I think obviously, yeah, there's that extra layer of pressure on him because of the whole Mikey aspect of it all. Definitely,
I think. Dude, also maybe
show, bro.
It's so this good.
Ridiculous. They're 25 minute episodes at times, and we're talking about this for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's so, like, it's goddamn not the good.
Best thing I fucking watched.
It's so
I
good.
I think the 30 minutes episodes make it good, man. Yeah. It's like just the right amount.
And I love the freedom that they'll, some episodes will be 40 minutes. There's the one that's an hour.
Yeah.
Others will be 25. It's
so obviously this doesn't air on FX at all, no, right?
I think it's
like Solar Opposites, like one of the Hulu originals, but it's kind of, I think Hulu and FX are.
Yeah, they're connected.
Yeah, I could have taken like two episodes a week.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, dropping all at once is tough.
Like,
yeah,
like that to add to the conversation.
I don't remember the last show that I watched a full season in one day. I watched the whole thing in one day.
That's what's great about the 30-minute episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I was up until like 2 a.m., but.
So let's take this home with some rankings, because, you know, Binge Town over here, we love rankings. I'm going to put you guys on the spot. I can even go first if you want me, because I am putting you on the spot. We're going to do top three main characters, top three supporting casts, and then bottom three characters. I'll leave it up to everyone's own discretion to decide main versus supporting. But I can start if you guys want me to. And I'm going to start with the least favorite characters, because we were kind of just talking about all these for me, and I don't want to end on a negative note. So I'll just say in order, just sweeps for the missed potential. Ibrahim, because he kind of annoyed me this season by his decision, and then no surprise to anybody, but Donna's going to be at the bottom. Don't really need to expand on that, because those are three of the characters we just covered, but that's kind of my bottom three coming out of season two. What do you guys think?
Is your bottom the number one?
Donna's the bottom.
See, I don't really not like a ton of characters, so I'm just gonna say that Lee will be my second to last and Donna will be my last. They were the only two characters I feel like that like actually upset me in like any way that I can think of.
It was really, I think every other character that wasn't those three I just listed, like a lot.
Yeah. So I don't have a negative thing to say. And the waste of potential thing is a thing, but I feel almost bad even putting Sweeps or Ibra or my boy, what the heck is the dishwasher's name? I'm looking at it right now. Manny. But like, I can't, like, it's not right. It deserved to be in the list. So
Sweeps is going to be a season three star.
Yeah.
Put it on the board.
I'm in with that.
I edited my list here in the midst of things. I was going to have Ibra on it, but I don't actually hate Ibra. I just wish that his character was written a little better.
Right.
My least favorite person is Lee. And then my second least favorite person is Donna. And then my third least favorite person is the crackhead chef.
Wow. Oh, that's good. That's
some balls. You know you wanted to put Sydney on there.
That's good.
Claire. Never, this guy's a hater, never, bro. It's like he never, doesn't love they were perfect never women.
On
them.
You're going to put Claire on that list?
Oh, dude. She's a little subtle list, bro.
All right. Let's reverse order then. And you can start, Alki, with your top three of either option, supporting or main.
I just want to preface this by saying that Carmi is my overall favorite character, but my favorite character in this season. Is that fine? Is that acceptable to do it?
Yeah,
that works.
Richie, number one. Number two, Carmi. And number three, Sugar.
Damn it. He's got my same three characters.
That's your same three.
Different order. I'm going to say Carmi, Richie, Sugar, just because, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I'm too biased towards Carmi. So
yeah.
But like same three. I'm surprised you had Sugar in your top three, though. I'm happy to hear it.
She was good, man.
She's great.
Mine is going to be Richie, Carmi, Marcus. And then my honorable mention, who just missed out, is Tina.
Okay. Yeah, Tina's my four as well.
Marcus and Tina are definitely main characters.
If we did a five, I think Sugar would have been five.
Okay.
Fact would have been fighting for it, though.
Right now. In fact, more he's of a side because
character.
He didn't
okay
get, because
I rock
he
with
didn't
that.
Get a backstory episode, which he was in the backstory episode, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I rock
so
with
that. I'll allow, if you want to, you can go first for the supporting characters, of just characters that aren't, you know.
Okay, so supporting characters, I'll go Fac, Stevie, Luca.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah,
then I will go Stevie, Fac, then Uncle Jimmy as my
good
top
one
three.
I have Mike, Fack, and Uncle Jimmy.
Mike's a good inclusion.
Hey, all right, I thought there was gonna be more controversy about some of our opinions, but it seems like we're pretty much all on the same page.
We just love the fucking show.
I love the show.
I'm good.
See, all the characters are good, man.
Get a couple beers in me, talk about the Bears.
One and a half.
Yeah, we're not a couple yet.
See, I think Fack would have been in like my overall list if I didn't. The prompt was side character list, so.
And I guess now that we went through this whole podcast, have any of your guys' opinions changed in like a stronger or weaker way of season two versus season one?
Like characters?
Just this as a whole. Like, I think season two
is way better. Okay, way better, maybe not, but definitely better.
Alki?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, man. There's no fucking controversy here, baby. Yeah.
I guess we kind of talked about it a little bit, but maybe just you said that. What's your favorite episode you said?
Okay, favorite episode. Orcs. I like Richie's side story one where he grows a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the finale might be my favorite. It's a hard watch, but I loved it.
I like Richie's, then even though it was so crazy, I love the Christmas episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it uncovered so much. And then for number three is the finale.
Yeah. The Christmas would be my number two and the finale three.
So yeah, those are my three exactly. Yeah, and then the Marcus's would probably slide into the fourth.
The beginning episode's kind of all blended together for me a little bit. When they introduce Claire, I don't know, I love that moment.
Yeah.
Like in the supermarket, he's holding whatever the frick he was holding. She thought it was vanilla ice cream.
I was so mad he gave her the wrong number.
Dude, he said he thinks about it and he's like two. And I was like,
well, it's because he knows he's not emotionally available.
He knows in that moment. Her. Yeah. In that moment, he was the same person that he was in the walk in at the end. Yeah.
Take her home.
All right. Is that all she wrote?
Yeah.
All right. So that'll 86 our coverage of season two of The Bear. Shout out to all the Jeffs that are still with us. That was a bit of a longer ride than we might have thought it was going to be, but it was fantastic. I think we probably covered everything I could have possibly thought of. So we will anxiously await season three. Not sure how any type of writer strike or anything like that is going to impact when it comes out, but obviously they're very committed to making it. So we'll just have to wait patiently for it to come out. If you like what you heard, we cover just a ton of fucking TV shows at this point. I think we've hit, this might be our 75th. TV show, which sounds wild to say out loud.
Wow.
We've got almost 400 episodes out. We got a bunch of different separate feeds. I mean, right now we're doing The Witcher. We just wrapped Silo, which was one of the kind of came out of left field for us in terms of like one of our favorite shows of 2023 so far, for sure. That's on Apple TV. If you want to check that out, we did some great coverage of that. We also interviewed the author of the books a couple times. So I think that our Silo coverage is probably some of the best out there. So definitely tune into that. We got Cruel Summer is something that's going on right now for us as well. We wrapped recently. We did a Succession. We talked about a lot in this. Yellow Jackets is a recent one. The Witcher is going to keep coming out. We got Wheel of Time coming up at the end of the summer. One Piece is coming up at the end of the summer. Jujutsu Kaisen is coming out. Maybe we'll dangle with that. Attack Who can say? Attack on Titan. Yeah. So we kind of we got a lot of irons and a lot of fires. We dip our spoons in a lot of pots. So. And then, also, we're trying very hard to get our Discord going. So if you like to just chat shows with other people that also like to chat shows, definitely give that a look. You can find probably the easiest way to find that is to go to our Twitter, which is at BingeTownTV. There should be links that should be easy to find there. If not, you could also just DM us on Twitter or Instagram. Same exact handle, at BingeTownTV. This is probably the longest outro I've ever said, so I'm going to wrap it up and end it with that. Thank you all so much for listening, and we love you.
Corner.
Heard.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.